Well, like I said, today is the first Sunday of Advent, preparing for a celebration, preparing for the recognition, the reminder of Jesus and his birth. If we would just stop for a minute and acknowledge or recognize the magnitude of this event that we celebrate, not this Christmas, but the birth of Christ. If we would just, you guys grasp the magnitude of this? God becoming flesh. And we fight to turn it into, or not turn it into, a very interesting holiday where we buy an awful lot of gifts for people. And it becomes about this gift giving so easily turns to that. And so as we prepare, one of my prayers is that our hearts are turned towards a recognition of the amazingness of what God did in breaking through, becoming flesh, being part of us. You know, Christmas can be wonderful, stressful, expensive. But my hope is that it is really a celebration of Jesus and his birth. He dwelt among us. He's not far off. He doesn't have this secondhand knowledge of what it's like to be like you. Our God knows us. We celebrate what's important. At least that's what we should do. The things that are important in our lives, we celebrate. God becoming flesh, now that is something to celebrate. Do we grasp it entirely? Absolutely not. It doesn't. In fact, if we stop and think about it just a moment, it's almost hard to get a hold of. An eternal being, God himself, limiting himself and becoming a person. So as we spend some time in the Advent, we work at our focus of what it should be, not what the world around us tells us it is. You know, Black Friday is always kind of interesting. I used to work in retail, so Black Friday was a really big day. And, you know, you've heard the reports that there's a lot of businesses, a lot of retail stores especially, their business depends on what happens in this season. Right? A majority of their sales that they make, the majority of their income happens within the next 4 weeks. You could almost say that the very life of a business is dependent on the birth of Jesus. I kind of think that maybe God kind of snickers a little bit at this. That because our very life is and has been dependent on the birth of Jesus. So my prayer is that we prepare well. I don't want the day to sneak up on me. I want to have the right focus. I don't want to get caught up in what society around us gets caught up in. I want to get caught up in the fact that I'm going to celebrate the very fact that God is not far away. That God broke through and is with us. So our focus today, a day of hope, a day of expectation. Maybe anticipation is another word for it. You know, having accurate expectations is really good. Those of you who've gotten married, Some of you, we had some expectations when we got married, right? Some of them were spoken, some of them weren't spoken. And you quickly discover the ones that weren't spoken when they're not met. Why isn't that person doing what they're supposed to do? I mean, I didn't tell them they were supposed to do that. I didn't tell them I was expecting it. But it's not being met. So having accurate expectations, having spoken expectations, realistic expectations are good. So as we prepare for Christmas, having the right expectation is incredibly important. The expectation of God. But what about it? What are we expecting? I mean, in Jesus' day, they were expecting a Savior to come, right? I mean, as we read through the Scriptures, you see that there were scholars that were anticipating it. They were anxiously waiting for it. They saw a need for it. They were waiting for this promised Savior. They had faith that God was going to bring a Savior. And they were expecting it. They were watching for Him. They didn't necessarily know when, but they were expecting it. Their level of expectation was high. There was a felt need. I mean, as they were being ruled, as they were being controlled by Rome at this point, they saw that they needed something. They needed somebody to step in. Jesus came just as God said He would. Not as they thought He would, but as He said He would come. I want you to remember this. Because what do we expect now? I mean, in some extent, Jesus' birth is behind us. So what are we expecting? As we prepare for Advent, as we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare for the celebration of His birth, what's our expectation? What do you expect God to do? Well, have you ever been had an experience in your life where it was very important for you to know what time it was? I mean, a few years back, I had to fly to Indianapolis, and I got the date wrong. And I went to check in on my plane, for my plane, and they said I was too late. I'm looking at the time, and I'm trying to figure out what in the world. And then I looked at the date, and I was a day late. Well, it's kind of important to know what time it is, right? I didn't have the time right. I know of a family in our church who were going on vacation, and they missed their day to fly off to Hawaii. It was, sure, stressful. Knowing what time it is important. When I was in college, I started a new job. I landed a job as a bank teller, and I was quite excited about it, but very nervous. And my boss was kind of strict, pretty stern, and in the interview process, as he told me that he was going to hire me, he stressed over and over again, be here on time. You see, he didn't want to open the bank doors during non-business hours more than he had to. I don't know, you know, probably has something to do with money, but... So opening the doors was really critical, and so he stressed over and over again. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit afraid of him. But I was excited about having the job. And so, I mean, it was like, you know, this is my first real job. It was not Kmart anymore. So I got nervous. I got ready to go, that night to get to bed. But I didn't actually make some good choices. I stayed up a little later than I should. So when I went to bed, I knew that I needed to make sure that I woke up with my alarm. And I was worried about it. Anybody ever, gone to bed and been like, oh, I should set like 5 alarms because I do not want to sleep in, right? I don't want to oversleep. And so I went to bed that night, and it was later than it should. I should have stayed up, and I was tired, and I set the alarm, and I went to, and I laid my head down on the pillow, and I'm thinking, don't sleep in. And the next thing I know, I'm standing in the kitchen with a bowl in front of me, and I'm pouring cereal. And I don't remember how I got there. And I looked around like, man, it's really dark. And I lived with my parents still at the time, and my dad's evening ritual was fall asleep in front of the TV and snore till whatever time of night. And so all of a sudden I'm like, man, the TV's on. My dad's in his chair. What time is it? And so I'm staring at the clock, and we don't have digital clocks there. We had the analog, and I'm staring at it trying to figure out, well, which is the small hand and which is the big hand. And I'm rubbing my eyes, and I'm thinking, oh, and I realize, oh, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd been in bed just like an hour and a half or something. So I put my bowl in the fridge because it had milk in it and stuff, and went back to bed. The next thing I know, I'm standing in the doorway of my bedroom, and I'm thinking, man, I am so tired. I don't know how I got to that point. And I'm like, wow, what time is it? And so I'm staring at the clock on my nightstand and trying to figure it out. And finally I realized I'd gone back to bed for like 2 hours. So it was still like 3-something in the morning. It was dark outside, and I'm exhausted. And I know some of you are thinking, what was he on, right? Well, I'd never done drugs, and I never drank, so it wasn't that, all right? I just was nervous, and I stayed up too late. And so went to bed. I finally woke up right. I got to work on time. Everything was great, and got to tell some of my friends about the fiasco in the evening. The next night, I was still nervous about sleeping in, but it didn't affect my social life, So I stayed up late, and got to bed even later, and next thing I knew, I'm standing in my shower, water's running over me, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, I just can't hardly wake up. What time is it? So I peek out the shower curtain, and it's 2:30 in the morning. I did it again. So it was a joke that my friends would say, what time is it? Because that's just the thought that was in my head over and over again. Man, what time is it? I got to work the next day just fine, and everything started working out. It was fine. But knowing what time it is very important. And as we are in a season of expectation, it's really important to know what time it is. So today we're going to look at a passage. It's Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, we're going to read verses 11 through 14. It'll be on the screen if you want to look it up, that's great. We're going to read from the NIV. It says this, and do this. We're kind of jumping into a conversation partway, but it's all right. And do this, he says. Understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. As I read this passage over and over again, there's one phrase that just kept grabbing me. Understand the present time. Understand the present time. Let's just think about this for a minute. This passage sounds like Paul's saying, listen, Jesus is coming soon. You better get ready. Right? I mean, isn't that a simple interpretation of it, right? Jesus is coming soon. You better be ready. Man. It's been like 2,000 years. Paul seems really urgent. I mean, if I had to wait 2,000 years, I would think, oh, that's really maybe not that urgent, right? Years have passed. Waves of expectation have gone through the Christian community. How many generations have thought, this is the generation that Jesus is going to come back? You think we're the first ones? We're not. It's almost like, have we cried wolf too many times? Now, I want to say that very carefully, because I think that maybe even in this room, there's this hint of, yeah, we've heard it. We've heard that before. He's coming soon. So then I begin to look at this passage and I think, well, was Paul wrong? I mean, is that our conclusion? Well, Paul thought Jesus was coming back soon, but he was wrong. I mean, in my definition, 2,000 years is not quick, right? So does anyone think Paul was wrong? Okay. All right. Let me ask you this, though. Is it possible that maybe, just maybe, we've interpreted it wrong? Maybe we've read into it what we thought he was saying, and it wasn't necessarily right. I mean, if 2,000 years went by and Jesus is coming soon, and that's what we think the point is of this passage, then maybe we've missed the point. Now, some scholars, some Christians, we'll say that, some Christians have concluded, well, Jesus has come back, and we're living in that time when Jesus is ruling. Well, it's a theory. Okay? I don't believe that theory, but it's a theory out there. That's one way to wrestle with this. Well, Paul was right, and then he did come back. But as I read it, I thought, wait a minute. I think we've been missing the point of what he's saying. What he's telling us is that for us Christians, it's time for us to be awake. That's what he's telling us. Understand the present time. It is time to be awake. You know, we have morning rituals, right? I mean, in fact, if I don't brush my teeth in the right order, not like the back tooth and this, I mean, if like, you know, I don't do it in the right order in the morning, I'm sorry, this might gross some of you out, but sometimes I forget. Because my ritual got mixed up. Has anything happened to anybody else? You don't have to confess to that. It's okay. Kyle, gross. All right? But we have these morning rituals. I mean, we shower, most of us do. We eat breakfast. We get dressed. Hopefully every one of us does that. We put deodorant on. Those are the things. And what order you do them in is your order. But it's the things we do because it's morning. As Christians, it's our job to get ready for the day. That's what Paul is telling us. It's our job to get ready for the day. Jesus already tells us we don't know when it's going to happen. Quit trying to guess it. Just get ready for the day. Put away the deeds of darkness. You know, two things happen. Two things happen within our Christian culture even. Oftentimes, we Christians hide our sin. Sorry if that shatters what you thought happened. But some of us Christians, we hide our sin. We show up on Sunday and we try to look presentable because we don't want anybody to know what really our life is like. But then there's also this, and we see this in our society, the deeds of darkness, what we've done is we've just made them acceptable to do them in the light. Have you noticed that? It's kind of like voyeurism. That's not a very nice way to talk, but it's like we live in a time where what used to be unacceptable in the light is becoming acceptable. And even within the church, what used to be unacceptable, or an unacceptable way to live, and it was unacceptable, so we hid it. That's one way of dealing with it, rather than just stop it, right, is we hide it. But we should fight that movement to make things acceptable in the light that it should never be acceptable. Our job is to be awake and to get rid of the deeds of darkness, to set them aside, put them off. Sunlight is wonderful, isn't it? I mean, just think about it. As winter works its way, we begin to miss that sunlight a little, don't we? And we have a day where the sun shines. Some of us go to warmer climates to see the sun, to visit it. And we come back brown. Some of us get depressed because we haven't seen it for a while. But sunlight is really wonderful. Isn't it awesome when light breaks through the darkness? I had the opportunity this morning to look out and watch the sun break through the darkness. You ever thought of it that way? It was so dark that you can't see past the parking lot. And pretty soon, light begins to work its way this way. I love watching that. Sunlight is fantastic. The day is coming. Has anybody ever ridden the Hiawatha Trail? Okay, some of you have. There's a point in that tunnel on the top, right, that you're riding through, and the darkness is overwhelming. Your little light on your bike doesn't shine far enough. And you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Or it's just like a dot. But as you keep riding, that light begins to grow. And it begins to get stronger and gets bigger. And you no longer need the flashlight, the headlamp. What's our present time? Understand our present time. It is time for us to be awake. It's time for our eyes to be wide open. It's time for our attention to be on the light. Not because the state of our country. Not because Trump won the election, shocker, holy moly. Not because the world seems more corrupt now. Not because it just seems like, you know, it must be Jesus is going to come sooner. No. We should be wide awake because he has already broken through the darkness. The light of the world is present. It's not midday, but it's sunrise. If you watch long enough, you get to see that sun break over the horizon. We're not there yet. Jesus tore through the darkness when he was born. That light was never snuffed out. It progresses every day. And one day, the sun will be shining brightly as the noonday. John gives us an interesting version of the birth of Jesus. He ties it to the creation story, and he highlights and he anchors the fact that Jesus is God. Listen to his words. He says this. It's found in John 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Past tense, right? He was with God in the beginning. Past tense. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Past tense. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Past tense. But listen to this phrase. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Understand our present time. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So, are you attracted to the light? I mean, I think that's where our real question should be this morning. Understanding the present time, are you attracted to the light? Or are you attracted to the dark? Christians, it's possible. It's possible that we're attracted to the dark. But light is attractive, isn't it? It's really attractive when you want to stop hiding. Darkness is attractive when you want to gratify your flesh. You know what I mean? Put away. Paul says, put away and put on. Nothing good happens after midnight. Did anybody's parents ever tell you that? Nothing good ever happens after midnight. Usually be home by 11. You know what? A lot of that's pretty true, isn't it? I got into a lot more trouble later in the night than I did while it was still light out. If Christ is your light, we should be clothed. Paul says, Christ is our light. Clothe yourself with him. Put on the armor of light. But you've got to deal with the pull of the flesh. Now, we could read this and go, man, Paul's kind of threatening us, right? I mean, it sounds a little bit like that, like Santa. Better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, because Santa Claus is coming. And we could read this as, listen, understand, you better not commit adultery, and you better not have any dissensions or jealousy and sexual immorality, because Jesus is coming. Doesn't quite have the same rhyme to it. We could take it as a threat. But instead, why don't we be excited? He's coming. Our salvation is nearer than it was when we first believed. See what he said? Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, you might think, wait a minute. When I accepted Jesus, I was saved, right? Well, is this as good as it gets? Man, I hope not. Salvation started when we accepted Christ, but there's more. And as we recognize the sun rising, we prepare for the day, we fight harder Hang on. The day is on its way. Understand the time. There's hope. He says, put aside. Man, have you ever said something to the effect of, God, just take this from me? Let's be honest, okay? What we're really saying is, okay, God, you know what? I don't really know how to get rid of it in my life, so just take it. Well, I don't actually know how to, I don't know how to hand it to you, so I just want you to rip it out of my hands. Is that really how God works? See, I think, I know for me, it's a little bit lazy. I want to be passive in my relationship and just, you know. Well, God didn't take it from me, so I guess he wants me to have it. Well, I'm guilty of this, okay? I just didn't have time, you know, to do my quiet time. Really. I mean, I had time to watch TV for several hours, but I didn't have time for my quiet time. I had time to hit my snooze button 5 times, but I didn't have time to have my quiet time. Now, is there every day that works like that? No. I don't want to try to make us feel guilty. But what Paul is telling us is it's an active thing. That to understand what's coming, to understand our present time, means that we should be saying, man, the light is coming. I want to get rid of this stuff. And I need to put it aside. Throw it away. It's actually my job to do some of this. Put on the armor of light. He actually expects us to put out some effort to act Christ-like. Ha! Huh, the nerve, right? It's just so hard. Yeah, it is. Doesn't mean we don't do it. Don't think about how to gratify your flesh. Well, I mean, you know, not a big deal. I just was thinking about it. I didn't do it. Stop thinking about it. Don't think about how to gratify your flesh. Just as we have morning rituals that we go through, showering, brushing our teeth, eating our breakfast, that kind of thing. We have morning chores. As Christians, prepare for the day. It's what we're called to do. Prepare for the day. Do we realize the sun is rising? It may take another 1,000 years, but our job is to prepare for the day. Get dressed. Put on Christ. I can't stop you from hearing this passage as a threat. But this is good news. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be the best day ever. It's going to be a better day than any night you have ever had. Get ready for it. Wake up. It's time for us to be awake. Paul tells us, it's time for you to wake from your slumber. Now, do you realize that he's not talking to a bunch of non-Christians here? He's not addressing non-Christians. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church in Rome. Wake up, he says. We got Christians that are asleep, in other words. Wake up. I'm not mature enough for a snooze button. Okay? If I've got a snooze button, I'll hit it. And then I'll hit it again. And then I'll hit it again until I get to this point where I'm like, oh no, I gotta get going now. And I jump up, hop in the shower, wash real fast, grab something to eat, and I'm out the door. Anybody else like that? Not mature enough for a snooze button. Okay. Yeah. Some of you guys, you can, oh yeah, I'm good with the snooze button. I set my alarm 9 minutes ahead. I mean, set my clock 9 minutes ahead, then set my alarm for what time I want to get up, and then I hit the snooze one time. Oh, come on. Just wake up. Wake up. It's time to wake up. As Christians, let's not be those snooze button hitters. Let's not scramble. Oh, man, he's just about to crack over the horizon. It's time for me to get ready. Understand the time. The sun is rising. It is time to be awake. Period. We may not get to see that sun crack over the horizon, but it is still time for us to be awake. We actively clothe ourselves. And you know, if you don't know what that means, to actively clothe yourself with Christ, well, that's a whole other sermon or two or three or four. But let me just give you a couple places to look, okay? You can look in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. It talks about armor of God, right? We can look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23, talks about fruit of the Spirit. Those are the things that he's talking about when he's talking about being clothed with Christ. The light is shining. The day is almost here. No more snooze button. Are you going to be one that prefers the dark? Or a person of the light? See, because the people of the light, we want to stay in it. I know that's a profound idea, but people of the light, we want to stay in it. We don't need to lurk around the shadows, because those are those places where we start to think about how to gratify our sinful flesh. This is kind of a side note, but you know what I really think is cool? We get to celebrate Christmas right around winter solstice. In the Northern Hemisphere, the shortest day of the year, December 21st, every day after that, the day is longer. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus, the light of the world, broke through the darkness. And as we watch it progress, what we recognize is that we're still on that other side right now, right? It feels like the days are getting shorter, but there's coming a day when that changes. Darkness doesn't win. It will not overtake light. And the days will continue to get longer. And shortly after that, we celebrate Christmas. Probably just a coincidence, but I think maybe God had something to do with that as well. He obviously doesn't like those that live in the Southern Hemisphere, but he likes us better. This is not a threat. This is an invitation. An invitation to spend your life, to spend your time in the light, to be awake. Light communicates warmth. Think about a fireplace on a cold winter's day. Or a porch light at night. Light gives direction and hope. Light helps us so we can see better and we can understand more fully. We're in a time of hope, of understanding, of being able to see better, and have better direction. Our job is to be awake. C.S. Lewis said this: I believe in God the same way that I believe that I believe in the sun that shines in the sky. It's kind of an interesting way to say it. He says this: not just because I can see the sun, but because by it I can see everything else. We're in a time that God is shining so we see better. So as we celebrate Jesus' birth, let's celebrate light breaking through the darkness. That we would live in an expectation of his return, but understanding this present time. It's time to put away the deeds of darkness and live in the light. The sun is rising. What are you doing? Wake up. Get ready for the greatest day ever. Would you stand with me, please?